and very special guest joining us right now in the Bears sunrooms out here. It is Brewers General Manager David Stearns. David, how are you this afternoon, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me down again.
Sparky's been waiting all day to ask you a question, so I'm going to let him go ahead and get the first one.
Hey, I apologize for this ahead of time.
Sparky's double-fisted Mountain Dews over there.
I know, right?
I don't know where this interview's going.
No, he don't need it, cuz.
I know it's going to be high velocity.
Yes, it will be. Yes, that's correct. Well, you know where I'm going because I was on the same frame last time we had you on. So, do you have a contract extension? Are they paying you more money yet?
Just say no comment and let's move on, man.
No, man.
I just need to hire you as my agent.
That's what I said earlier today.
You'll be out
of the league the same day. You'll be out of the league, barred.
Look, man, you become president of baseball operations.
He has the whole thing laid out.
I got it all laid out. I just want this all done because I don't want to read.
Oh, my God.
Such and such team has interest in David Stearns. Such and such team has interest in David Stearns. And then all of a sudden, Theo leaves Boston and goes to Chicago. I don't want to do that. I just want lifetime contract and we're done. Let's call him a day.
I'm glad you want me here.
That's a great sign.
That is a good sign.
He's quick to call for somebody's job, David. Don't get it twisted.
It took me a little while to win Sparky over.
One bad season, he's going to want your job back.
Oh, I know. That's okay.
As long as you know that. As long as you know, you good.
That's not true.
Hey, Mark, you remember that contract?
Honestly, I'm not just saying this because you're here. One thing that I appreciate about David as a general manager is that, and you've told us this before, you're a guy who grew up in the New York area, right? And as a kid, you were constantly reading the sports pages. You were always listening to sports talk radio. So you get what this is about and how quickly things can swing, don't you?
I get what this is about, and I'm secretly envious of your jobs. Like, I think you guys have...
You're envious of our job?
You guys have...
Do you know what we get paid? Sir, you're in a better seat, trust me. That's why we get you the high seat.
You guys get to talk about sports all day. You get to share very opinionated thoughts publicly. I have to be a little bit more reserved in what I'm saying.
You still owe us a show to co-host with us.
Yeah, you said you were going to co-host an entire show with us one time.
Yes.
We didn't make that promise. We
just say allegedly, it gets you out of it.
Allegedly. There we go. Yeah.
Before we move ahead and some of the things that you guys are going to have to decide this coming offseason, David, let's talk about what's already transpired since the end of the season. Bullpen coach gone, hitting coach gone, strength and conditioning coordinator gone. And I think the biggest loss in a lot of Brewers fans' eyes is pitching coach Derek Johnson is out. Was this type of turnover something that you guys were expecting or knew was a possibility after being one game away from the World Series?
Probably weren't expecting it, to be perfectly honest. But if you look around what's happened in baseball this year, there's been a ton of coaching staff turnover throughout the league. And I think executives all around the league are trying to understand what happened and why exactly it happened this way. But there are a lot of coaches whose contracts happen to be up at the same time. There are a lot of teams looking for coaches and ultimately we lost a couple of guys, but we think we brought in some very good coaches as well. And we're excited about bringing in guys like Chris Hook, who knows our system really well, to be our pitching coach. Excited to bring in Steve Carce from the Indians organization. Excited to bring in Andy Haynes to be our hitting coach from the Cubs organization. So anytime you lose valuable coaches like we lost, it's disappointing, but we're also very much looking forward to adding those new voices to our staff, and we know those guys will make an impact.
See, and this is the conversation I don't want to have, Mark, about losing David Stearns. Well, you know, we didn't expect it, but see, that's what I'm talking about. This is my point, because, again, this is what scares me, keeps me up at night. I don't want to go through this with Stearns. Listen, I was hot when y'all lost Derek Johnson, because –
That's his guy.
That was my pitcher coach. I was like, I don't care who they get as a pitcher. He'll figure it out one way or the other. So at the end of the day, do you guys as an organization have some type of philosophy or guidelines as far as, okay, we're only going to go this far with, bench coach, only this far with pitcher coach as far as how long the deals are, a more year-to-year thing, or am I going to go past 3 years, or is there a structure like that in place, or you're like –
Or do you have
really
a
good.
Budget?
Right.
Basically.
You're really good. I'll give you 5 years and whatever. It changes per guy.
There's always a budget, and there's always limitation. Yeah. I will say that we do value our major league coaches, and in the case of Derek Johnson, we had extensive talks to try to bring him back, and DJ got a really good opportunity with the Reds, and we wish him well.
And he's in the division.
And we're looking forward to having Chris Hook be our Major League pitching coach. He's done a tremendous job helping to develop a number of our young pitchers who contributed down the stretch last year and who are going to contribute for us going forward. And we think he's going to be a really quality Major League pitching coach who We'll pick up and we won't miss a beat.
You guys are a very analytically driven team. It's not the only source that you use for scouting and decision making, but it's a pretty significant source for you guys. How much is handed down to the coaching staff, the pitching coach, the hitting coach, etc., from you and the front office in terms of what you want done and how you want it done, and how much do you leave in the hands of those coaches to be themselves and use their own methods and techniques?
Well, ultimately, a coach's job, first and foremost, is to connect with players.
Right.
Coaches need to be able to connect with players. Coaches need to be able to teach. And so when we look for coaches, at the top of the list are people who can teach and people who can build those relationships with players so that there's a trust level. Regardless of how good the substance may be, if you can't build that trust level, you can't build those relationships, it's not going to matter. You need to have that foundation set with all players. And certainly there's collaboration between the front office and our major league staff, and there's collaboration between the front office and coaches at all different levels of our organization. But step one is having coaches who build that relationship, and we've been very fortunate to have that.
Yeah, I want to stay on that for a minute because I got two questions. The transition when you got here from Doug Melvin, I love Doug Melvin, but it was a smooth transition because normally when a guy comes in, he likes to bring his own manager, his own staff, but Council was able to stay for a reason. Can you tell me a little bit how that went into that? Because normally you were like, hey, I'm coming in, I want to get my own guy. But he was able to stay, and I'm glad of that, obviously. Can you tell me a little bit behind the curtain how that happened?
Well, I think, and I've said this probably from my first press conference, I think Craig is uniquely qualified to be the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers. For everything that he has grown up in this city, he understands the passion of the fan base for the Milwaukee Brewers. He played for the team. He worked in the front office. And you add all of that he's a very good major league manager. And so there was no need to consider anything else. And Craig's done a phenomenal job since I've been here leading this team. Mm-hmm. He's very creative. He's very intelligent. I think we have a good working relationship. And and I think we're fortunate that that we have him here.
Yeah, that makes me feel – that's so refreshing to hear, by the way, because you hear so much rhetoric of guys bringing their own people. But – let's be honest. How many times are you riding down the road, you let the window down, and you yell out, yes, that you brought in Christian Yelich? He's the MVP. Because everybody wanted pitching. You got Lorenzo Cain, Christian Yelich, no pitching. But you got the MVP. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't know who Christian Yelich was, but I do now. I mean, you have to feel good about that personally to take a guy out of that situation he was in Miami, and he's the MVP. Because of you guys, your crew, but mainly you, to diagnose that and pull that kind of talent to bring it to our city is remarkable. Did you have a moment to sat back and say, you know, I'm the man?
If I could just add to that real quick, I do know who Christian Yelich was because I'm a baseball geek, so I knew you were getting a quality baseball player.
We didn't know that on the football side.
I know, and probably a better player than most people realize, but he even exceeded any expectations that I had. David, did he do the same for you?
Sure. When you make a trade like that, I think we thought at some point during his time here, we were acquiring a player who had a chance to compete for an MVP award. I certainly didn't think it was going to be in year one,
right?
And I didn't know that he was going to go out and win it.
Right. Nice.
But he took this really incredible step forward in his career, and it's a part of the evolution that we saw that we saw going on as a young player who was beginning to develop that power, who is beginning to really understand his swing and his body, and he just took it to another level. And obviously, what he did over the last 2 months of the season,
amazing.
He really was the best player in the National League for that entire stretch. He led us to the playoffs, led us deep into the playoffs, and he deserved the award.
And you had to give up some nice talent for him,
question.
Too. And that's the tough thing fans don't know. So real quick, because we're about to wrap up.
Just take a break.
Wrap it up, man.
We got it for another segment. Slow down.
Well, just ignore them, sir. Just me and you talking. How much went into that? Because I'm sure the team wants more players.
It's tough. I mean, we gave up some really high-end players who Marlins fans are going to be watching in the major league level for a long time, and we know that. But in order to get a player with the type of potential of a Christian Yelich, we know we're going to have to give up a lot. this was a very unique opportunity, maybe once in a 4 or 5 year opportunity where you have an opportunity to trade for a player like that. Mm-hmm. And we were going to do everything we could to make it happen.
Nice. David Stearns, Brewers general manager, our guest out here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, Sixten Rawson. My guy Sparky here, God bless him. He's the dude, and you might have been this guy too before you had the job that you have. I sense that you might be, David, who every rumor that comes up, and I don't expect you to comment on any names specifically, but Madison Bumgarner has been out there in the last few days. Noah Syndergaard has been out there in the last few days. And your guys' names, the Brewers organization has been attached.
Those of you can't see it, but Sturgis is giving us thumbs up and thumbs down. But we can't tell you what it is. It's a secret.
But Sparky sees those rumors, and every time he sees one, my phone is blowing up. Oh, and it's an excited Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on the other side of the phone. And I sort of talk him down. And Gary, who is...
Because you're a Cubs fan.
Well, no, that has nothing to do with it. No, that has absolutely nothing to do with it.
That smell, I've been smelling all day.
And he didn't have to bring that up while the general manager is here.
And he knows.
Besides the point, Gary, who's our other co-host here on The Big Show, I think he put it perfectly when talking about how you approach your job. He said you're a tire kicker, David. That you're going to go out and you're going to explore, you're going to find out everything about anybody who might be out there and what it might cost you to get them, and then analyze cost versus benefit and then make a wise decision. We shouldn't necessarily put all our hopes into the baskets of these rumor mills, should we, when they say the Brewers have inquired about...
I think that is a very fair and rational approach.
Okay. And Brewer fans should ignore both of these men.
Which is tough to do sometimes. But sure, my job is to understand the market on all available players, especially if those players can help the Milwaukee Brewers. And a lot of the players who are being discussed out there could fit on our team. A lot of them would also cost us a significant amount more than we're willing to pay from a prospect perspective. And that's been the case in a lot of these rumors that have come up over the past 3 years. And I'm constantly asked, why didn't we trade for this guy? Why didn't we trade for that guy? And I generally can't and don't get into specifics. But the reason usually is we just weren't willing to meet the price. And that's okay. We have to set boundaries on what we're willing to give. And a lot of the players who we got questions about why we didn't go and acquire, it would have cost us players who helped us get to Game 7 of the NLCS last year. And we have to be cognizant of that. Those players are very important to us now. They're going to be very important to us in the future. And so we need to have that balance of going out and making a big splash like we were able to do last year with bringing in a Christian Yelich, and also preserving our youth and our talent that's under control.
Yeah, now is it 5 o'clock tomorrow? You got to make some decisions.
7 o'clock tomorrow.
7 o'clock tomorrow. Can you just give me a nugget that I can tell on social media with the guys we're going to
just break a story right here. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Well, Adam McKelvey told me to ask that. He just asked him this. But now, it is a few guys that, you know, I'm a big Jeremy Jeffers guy. I like the fact that, you know, you guys have done something for him. I appreciate it. He goes down to Texas. He comes back. He's an all-star. And the guy has a chance to be very good. And I like the fact that you're actually the whole roster are guys that love to play baseball. And I know it's a tough decision, but do you ever see us one day in the future getting over the threshold of $100 million? I'm thinking, to me, that's kind of the threshold. Mm-hmm. Should you go maybe 125, or is that something you and Mark maybe talk about staying under?
So we were over, and you can calculate payrolls different ways. You can look at just the guys who play on the 25-man. The way Major League Baseball calculates payrolls, it's the guy on the 25-man, and then those 15 players on option in AAA. Mm-hmm. And when you add all that up and you add bonuses and everything, we were over $100 million this year. And look, Mark's committed to keeping this team competitive, and he understands that as we get better, the price of the talent is going to go up. A lot of that is through the arbitration system. That's the way our roster is constructed. Yeah. We start out with a lot of pre-arbitration players. A lot of those players have performed for us, and as they go through the arbitration system, they're going to be more expensive. And there will come a time where some of them probably can't stay, but we're going to do our best to keep as many of them as we can for as long as we can.
Yeah, I'm a big Ryan Braun guy, and I think it was some reports that at one point he may have went to the Dodgers, but something happened. And I know a lot of fans like to think of the money that he's making, one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid. You know, now, the future with these kind of players, when they're older like this, another team not going to just take them off your hand. Do you just figure him into the budget, and if he's available to move, you move him? Or you just say he's a cornerstone of our organization and we just want him to play well?
Yeah, we don't anticipate Ryan going anywhere. Ryan's a big part of this team, a big part of this city. We believe that he's going to be here. He was a very important member of our team this past year, especially down the stretch. He proved that he can still perform in big moments and big games, and so we anticipate Ryan being here for the duration of his contract.
Well, that made my day. I can leave now.
Good, because I got a bunch more, and I know I'm going to get cut off. So, first off, Jonathan Scope is a guy that obviously everybody's talking about. People are writing about Ken Rosenthal had his take on this as far as whether or not you guys will bring him back. But from your perspective, is it more difficult in this situation to make that decision because you gave up something to get him at the trade deadline?
So I have to do my best, and we as an organization have to do our best to take that out of the equation.
Because that's a pride thing to a degree, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't work if we start making emotional decisions.
Well, some
like
general
that.
Managers allow it to work that way.
But we have to understand we made a trade at the time that we thought was a good move,
right?
A move that was going to help us.
Yep.
And now we have to evaluate the facts as they are right now. We're still in the process of doing that. There are really three outcomes, and I know it's been there have been a lot of commentary on it today. There are really three outcomes of what can happen with Jonathan Scope. The sort of normal outcome is we tender him a contract and we go through the arbitration process with him. We could trade him between now and then, or we could non-tender him, which is essentially releasing him so that we do not go through the arbitration process with him and allow him to become a free agent. And we've got till 7 p.m. to make that decision tomorrow. We're probably going to wind it about as close down to 7 p.m. as we can, so we make sure we understand the complete information
could
about
you
the
do
market.
Do it before 6, just so we can break.
So
the
you can break the news.
The show,
I already
we'll
asked.
See.
All right, I got another one because we had Adam McKelvey on earlier, and he brought up Travis Shaw and you know how much flexibility that really gives you when you start talking about the fact that he was able to go to second base. And I said, wait, hold on, Adam, because what we don't know is this. And I said I was going to ask you. So you guys go last year to Travis Shaw and say, hey, man, could you possibly play second if it allows us to get a third baseman at the deadline? Travis says, sure, whatever you need, I'll go play second. But is that the same as saying, hey, Travis, want to play second for the rest of your career in Milwaukee because we're going to go sign a third baseman this year? Is that a separate conversation, or was that all part of the same conversation as far as him possibly staying at second going into next season?
That would need to be a separate conversation.
That's another conversation,
and,
right?
And look, Travis is the ultimate team guy.
Right.
And I think he demonstrated that he's willing to do what is in the best interest of the team, and the versatility that he displayed this year going over to a position he had never played before and picking it up and playing pretty darn well over there. That's pretty impressive.
Whose idea was it?
That was kind of a communal idea with Craig and me, and we both discussed it. We thought it had some merit. Craig thought that he could do it. He talked to Travis about it. I talked to Travis about it, and Travis was excited about it. He was on board.
Wow.
He wanted to prove, I think, that he could do it. And remember, this is a guy who predominantly played first base as a minor league player,
yep.
Went to camp with the Red Sox, recognized that his chance to make the team was likely at third base, spent a whole lot of time playing third base, and won their opening day job. And so this is a guy who's done this a couple times during his career. He's proven he can do it. It adds a different dimension to his game, and it certainly helped us last year.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about Jimmy Nelson because I think he's going to be something in the future. We really was hoping to see him come back, but the injury, 2-year injury, how's he coming along? Have you checked in on it? Oh, sure you have, but how's that working out?
So Jimmy is now technically done with the rehab process. So
oh,
that
nice.
That's encouraging.
Well, that's some breaking news nugget for
there
us.
There you go. So that's encouraging
we'll
for all of us. He is done with the rehab process. He's going through his normal off-season routine, which will involve a progressive throwing program here as we get into the new year. We expect him to be ready to go in spring training. The caveat there is with an injury like that, you really don't know what to mm-hmm. expect until a pitcher gets back on the mound in a competitive situation,
right, yeah.
In real competition. And so we're going to have to let Jimmy go at his own pace. I think we're all cautiously optimistic that he's going to be able to impact our team this year. But we also understand with a magnitude of the injury like this, we have to see how it goes, and let it progress as it should and not push the envelope.
So he wouldn't report with pitchers and catchers?
He will.
Oh yeah. Okay, good.
He'll report there.
He just might not have the regular workload.
That's exactly
okay.
Right. That's all exactly right. And look, there are going to be times where Jimmy, I'm sure, comes up sore, and we're going to have to back off a little bit, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And there are going to be times where he feels good, and we can push him a little bit. But we believe that the rehab portion is done, And we're going to have to see how it progresses now as he really gets into a normal spring training routine, normal game action. If we need to pump the brakes a little bit, we will. The key here is to get a healthy Jimmy Nelson, right? Because a healthy Jimmy Nelson is a really good pitcher.
If you had to predict right now, this is not real, would it be a pitcher you'd be the first one to sign a free agent or a hitter? If you had to predict it, if you weren't Stern,
I'm not good enough to predict those.
No, don't do that.
I'm not good enough to predict those things. I can't predict what's going to happen tomorrow, man.
That's fair enough. We'll leave that alone.
There you go.
We got time for one more question. Go ahead.
So I got a philosophical question, and I don't know if you'll answer it or not, but I'm going to ask it. So when Doug Melvin was here, he had these numbers in his brain that he believed in as far as when guys were maybe ready to come up to the major leagues. For hitters, it was, I want to get so many at-bats down there before I bring him up. With pitchers, I'd like to get so many innings down there before I bring him up. Do you have that same type of philosophy when it comes to when you're ready to bring him up? Because I know the Brewer fan base is pretty jacked about Keston Hira right now, and I know everybody's just assuming, well, he's going to go to AAA because they want to make sure he gets more at-bats. That's why I'm asking the question, in all honesty.
He's going to go to AAA so that he gets more at-bats.
Told you. But yeah. I like that. At least he's being honest, though.
He's going to go. I don't have a set number of plate appearances or a set number of innings that I think each person needs. I do like having prospects touch each level. I do think that minor league players learn a little something new at each level. At AAA, you see a lot more breaking stuff than you do at AA. You're seeing a lot of guys with major league experience who are back down, who are working on things. You'll see a lot more off-speed pitches. That's an important learning environment, and we're going to make sure that Keston gets that.
One more question, but I lied because I just remembered something, and this can be a yes or no answer, but I brought up something that across the board on the Wendy's Big Show
thing.
Was just,
ask it
just,
first, Steve.
Just deadpan. Nobody likes it. Nobody thinks you guys would consider it. I think I'm a genius. But you tell me, David.
Oh, my God, this guy.
So you guys have – 8 guys who could go into a starting rotation next year that we counted on the show. I said, what if they took this approach to the next season? Every 5 days, you name your next 5 starters, and those other 3 guys, they come out of the bullpen for you over the course of those 5 days. In whatever situation you might need a long reliever in a blowout or in case of injury. You guys definitely thought outside of the box when it comes to how to handle a pitching staff this year. Is something along those lines something that you guys would or maybe are considering?
Just telling me stupid.
I don't know that we would do exactly that. I do think we have an opportunity because of the depth of our starting rotation to be creative. And we don't know exactly what that looks like. It could look like something similar to what we did in the second half of this year. Mm-hmm. It will help us. I know it will help us manage innings for some of these young guys who maybe don't have quite the capacity to rack up 180, 200 innings yet. So we do have the ability to be creative. What exactly that looks like when we break camp in April, I don't know yet.
If they do this, I'm blaming you.
Well,
I think it's a great question. I really do think.
If you need any help or input with it, David, you know where to find me, man.
We appreciate it.
That's Brewers General Manager David Stearns.
Don't tell him that.
Our guest for the last few minutes here on the Wendy's Big Show at Blades Farm and Fleet, 6th and Ross and Inno Creek for the 12th annual Toy Drive. David, can't thank you enough for your time.
Thanks for having me,
supporting the great cause. Really, really appreciate it.